Swahib in Washington. Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Burkina Faso and Tunisia are the first teams through to the quarterfinals at the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Cameroon. Samson Omale will have details about their victories on Sunday later in the show, but we kick off in Malawi, where the country's national men's football team, the Flames, is burning brightly in the hearts and minds of many soccer lovers in the country. The Flames are one of the surprise packages at the Nations Cup. They've reached the round of 16 for the first time, and excitement is building in Malawi ahead of Tuesday's match against Morocco. Joining us now from Blantyre, Malawi, with a spicy Nations Cup feature is Lamech Messina. Sporty Nations Cup greetings, Lamech.
Sporty Nations Cup greetings to you too, Sunny. Malawi's national football team, nicknamed the Flames, has made history in the African Cup of Nations in Cameroon by making it to the round of 16. This is the first time the Flames have reached the knockout stage since their first Nations Cup appearance in 1984. Malawi tallied 4 points in the group stage. The Flames lost to Guinea 1-0 in their opening match, but then bounced back with a 2-1 victory against Zimbabwe and a hard-fought scoreless draw against 2019 Nations Cup finalists Senegal. The achievement is good news, especially for the Flames' new technical director, the Romanian Mario Marinica, who was entrusted to lead the team for the tournament in Cameroon. Marinica spoke to VOA's Sunny Side of Sports from Cameroon via a messaging application.
It is a tremendous achievement for Malawi football to make it to the round 16. It's obviously history in making, and I'm very proud to be part of this.
Marinica says the results have helped raise the Malawi flag high, and he hopes the team will perform even better on Tuesday against Morocco. Marinica attributes the achievement to the change in style of play he has introduced to the team.
Yes, we did change quite a lot the style of play. The style of play, which actually I call it fast and very fast, is something new, it's very modern, and it's based on five pillars. Players are working hard towards these five pillars. They are very disciplined. They work very hard strategically, technically, tactically. And it's credit to the Football Association of Malawi for trusting me.
And he says he wants to extend the new style of play to all of Malawi's teams at club level.
Obviously, we need this system and this philosophy adopted by all the coaches in Malawi to nurture and to select, obviously, players that they have abilities to be at the level of top players in the world. On that aspect, obviously, we'll have Malawi as a force to reckon in Africa.
However, Marinica says he wants to hold off on making a prediction for the game against the Moroccans.
Morocco has fantastic players. Really a very, very strong side. You know, I keep saying I don't want to raise expectations because expectations may sometimes happen to turn into bitter disappointments. But however, I want them to have beliefs If we play as well as we did with Senegal, at the end of the day, we may have a qualification and will put us in the next round.
President of the Football Association of Malawi, Walter Nyamilandu, also told the Sunnyside of Sports via text from Cameroon that the match against Morocco is like a cup final for Malawi. He said the stakes are very high because a win will be a game changer to their lives and a groundbreaking record. You must expect a huge surprise, he said. According to Nyamilandu, the change in football philosophy which Malinika has introduced has given the Flames the competitive edge. The team, he said, is now more direct, purposeful, focused and compact than before, and it is playing as a unit. Back home, supporters are divided on the outcome of Tuesday's match. Miriam Ntambo, a presenter with privately owned Times Television in Blanta, says if Malawi maintains its current standard of play, Morocco will lose.
I am so excited. I feel like you can actually see like the art of soccer in the way Malawi is playing. You know, there's times when you watch soccer for the sake of being just a fan, but this time around you're watching the Malawians playing and you actually see art for this game with Morocco, because Morocco is one of Africa's biggest teams as well. And you know what? Let's show them the fire, because we are the Flames. So, yeah, I see a win. Like, I see a 1-0 win happening. Yeah.
But Wilfred Gordon, a college student in Blanta, says Malawi needs to put extra effort to win the game.
Just because when we see the defenders for Morocco, their heights are better than the strikers of Malawi. So, like, this game, it will be short strikers against the top defenders. So what is needed here is that the technical team for Malawi should find a way on how the boys will be penetrating into the yard of Morocco. Therefore, we can be able to get a good result as Malawi national team. But it's a very long way to go.
Soccer analyst Peter Kingskaira, also a former Malawi national football team player, says it's unfair to expect Malawi to win against Morocco.
Why? Technically, we are not better than Morocco. Now, football is played on the field of play. It's not what we assume. Malawi national team can beat Morocco. Much as we know, Morocco is very much advanced technically. But for me to expect and say Malawi is going to beat Morocco is just daydreaming.
Kaira is also author of the book Football in Malawi, which chronicles the history of Malawi football. He says Malawi should use experience gained during the AFCON games to make more improvements in future competitions. As Malawi prepares for the Morocco match, excitement is also building in Malawi's neighboring countries.
Malawi, wayaka moto, wayaka moto, wayaka moto, omweta ponda, olimbeko champion, omwetiri.
For example, members of the Organized Family, a Zambian music outfit, have sung in praise of the Flames, and the song is now widely circulated on social media in Malawi. And on Saturday, Malawi's Minister of Sports announced plans to charter 2 airplanes to take supporters to Cameroon to cheer for the Flames during the match against Morocco. For the Sunnyside of Sports, I am Lamek Masina in Blanta, Malawi.
And thanks to Lamek Masina for that spicy Nations Cup feature. Let's show 'em the fire, Flames. Joining us now from Cameroon with more Nations Cup news is Samson Omale. Sporty Nations Cup greetings, Samson.
Sporty Nations Cup greetings to you, Sonny.
I'm not happy at all. I feel bad. I feel bad upon all the struggle of our players from day one to this moment. I'm feeling bad.
I wasn't happy about the game because our boys can defeat them easily. And our boys played very well more than them, but I don't know what to say because I don't like the game the way it went, especially with the intimidations. It's very, very unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate. If this is how the game will be going, then they are taking the happiness away from it.
I feel so bad. I can't lie to you. I feel so bad. I'm not happy at all. I'm not happy. It's really paying me too much.
Those were the voices of disappointed Nigerian fans at the Romde Aigia Stadium in Garoua on Sunday night, who spoke exclusively to the Sunday Side of Sports after the Super Eagles of Nigeria were beaten by the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia. Veteran Yusuf Zakini scored 2 minutes into the second half to give previously unimpressive Tunisia a 1-0 second-round triumph over 10-man Nigeria in Garoua. Nigerian hopes of leveling were dealt a huge blow midway through the second half when Alex Iwobi initially yellow-carded for a stamp on Sakini was sent off after the referee looked at the VAR. The West Africans were the only side to win all three group games in Cameroon, but were largely subdued against the Tunisian side hit by COVID-19. Coach Augustin Iwavan and Captain William Truce Ekong speak on the Super Eagles' loss.
Feel disappointed. But what can I say? It's part of life. Sometimes you don't get what you deserve. We did our best, gave it our best shot, but it just wasn't to be. You see, when Tunisia started the game, they respected us, we respected them as well. They dropped back, you know, to a low block defending, and we tried to open up from the sides, and they always double team. But the only thing we're not doing right is moving the ball quick enough to Moses Simon and Chukwueze. So that gives them time, you know, to come in and close those chaps down. Even at that, we want to try to penetrate through the middle, but I warn you today, you know, it worked hard, but it was a bit difficult because at every given time you had Tunisian players, minimum 9 behind the ball. So it was a bit difficult. We should have resorted to shooting, but the opportunity wasn't there. Made a mistake in the second half, beginning of the second half, by one of our best players. He didn't time the ball well, which is normal, can happen, and resulted to the goal. And then one man down, which my opinion wasn't, was harsh.
Could have gone either way. I don't think they had many chances before they scored a goal and came out of nowhere, really. But yeah, they got a goal. I think we were a little bit wasteful with some of our chances. And all in all, I want to say that I'm really proud of the team. I think, we're a young team that we have today. One thing that we can say is that we left the pitch given everything we did. And we can't control the outcome sometimes, but today's one of those days.
Sporting greetings. This is William Chosekong from Watford Football Club and Nigeria Super Eagles. You're listening to the Sunny Sides of Sports on the Voice of America.
Assistant coach Joseph Yobo and defender Kenneth Omeara also spoke on the loss, the red card, and the disappointment after being tipped as favourites for the title.
So two things. We're unlucky. We had a few chances with 10 men, and then the red card really affected us because there's no way, in my opinion, with 11 players, our players on the field, that they will beat us.
No, we came into that game ready to win it. We didn't start very well. But second half, we came trying to push for the win. Unlucky we conceded, and of course, unfortunate for the red card as well. But I think the boys gave everything they could. It just wasn't for us.
Tunisian forward Issam Jabali said though Nigeria is a good side, the Carthage Eagles were prepared to beat them despite having COVID-19 challenges.
Of course, everybody didn't expect Tunisia win Nigeria. Okay, Nigeria, they have very good player. They have players, they play a high level. But Tunisia, if you know really Tunisia, we play with 11 and 18 player always. We don't have individuality, you know. We don't have stars or player who play in big level, but we play as a team. So today, maybe Nigeria saw us a little bit small, but I think this is the mistake they make. I think they didn't prepare the game as well as we prepared the game. The plan was to don't concede goal against Nigeria, because we know if we concede goal, it will be difficult for us.
In the earlier game, Burkina Faso on Sunday held off a gallant rear guard action from 10-man Gabon to advance to the African Cup of Nations quarterfinals with a 7-6 victory on penalties after a 1-1 draw in their last 16 tie in Limbe. Ismaila Ouedraogo netted the decisive kick to ensure they are the first side into the last 8 after an incident parked an energy-sapping clash. After Burkina Faso's keeper Bertrand Traoré scored early, 10-man Gabon took the match into the extra time following a dramatic last-minute equalizer. Tunisia, Nations Cup winners in 2004, will now face Burkina Faso in the last eight on Saturday, the 29th of January. Two games are slated for Monday. The Comoros Islands will have to use one of their outfield players in against African Cup of Nations host Cameroon on Monday after being hit by COVID-19 infections. This will be the first African Cup of Nations encounter between Cameroon and Comoros, while it will be just the third time that the tournament host will play a debutant in a knockout round match after Egypt versus Sudan in 1957 semifinals and Ethiopia versus Tunisia in 1962 semifinals. Nigerian Jimmy Abdul of the Comoros said they are in Cameroon to make history, as playing Cameroon is an extra motivation in the second round.
First of all, I think we are some lucky guys in our group, you know, because to be in this place, participate in this kind of competition is a huge achievement for us. We're going to play against one of the biggest nations in the continent, so we don't need extra motivation for that. So we're going to play this game, as you know, for us the first time. So we make history a few days ago, and we continue that. So we want to follow this step, and hopefully We're going to do well.
Also on Monday, two West African sides will battle it out at the Stade Omnisports de Bafoussam as Guinea and Gambia go head-to-head for a place in the quarterfinals of the African Cup of Nations on Monday. While the Sili National picked up 4 points from their opening three games, Gambia have enjoyed an unbeaten campaign so far, finishing only behind first-placed Mali on goal difference after picking up 7 points in Group F. Tom Senfeld and Suleiman Mare, in their pre-match press conference ahead of tonight's game, said they will want to stay longer in the competition.
Our approach is known by ourselves, but that doesn't have to be discussed here, I guess. You know, we can play different styles. We can change during halftime. We can change during the game. I have 26, 27 players available who can play different styles, and it's our job now to maybe surprise Guinea. We studied them. We know their qualities. We know how they play. They played three games with similar formation. Maybe this surprises us. But I'm sure that the 11 players who will come to on the pitch will be ready to battle for their life in a tactical discipline and with quality on the ball. And we are also aware that it could be a long game. I mean, now we played always 90 minutes. From now on, it can be 120 and penalties. So we have to prepare for everything, but I think we are ready for this task, and we really would like to stay longer in Cameroon because we love Cameroon.
Well, I think everybody in the team is motivated. It's a great pleasure to be here, to be on this knockout stage. It's true that not a lot of people expect us to be here, but if you are in the team, you will not be surprised because we have a lot of quality in the team. But it's true, Guinea is the most experienced team. It's the favorite, but I think we are ready. We will be present and we will compete.
Guinea picked up a dream start to the African Cup of Nations campaign as they claimed a 1-0 victory over Malawi on January the 10th, courtesy of Isiaga Sila's first half strike. This was followed by another somewhat impressive performance as they held a significantly superior Senegal side to an uneventful goalless draw 4 days later.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale reporting from Garowa, Cameroon. For more reaction to Nigeria's 1-0 Nations Cup loss to Tunisia, Iron Mike Mbonye called Garowa, where he reached the chief football writer at aclsports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
I believe it was a shocking result that reverberated around not only Garowa in Cameroon, but throughout the rest of Africa and the world. The Super Eagles, having won their first three games in the competition, were being ranked as the favorites to win the tournament. But as football will have its own rule, they were given an humbling experience right there in front of over 20,000 spectators. As the Tunisians came with a game plan, and I think they stuck to it, and also they were aided by luck, because I think without the red card to Nigeria's Alex, he will be in the second half. Maybe we could be discussing something different. But they were purposeful. They knew what they wanted, the Tunisians, and they came for it. And in the end, Nigeria had to pay for their slothful start to the game. A number of languid movements from some of their forward players, not too coherent in terms of their attacking play. And the Tunisians managed to hold them to goalless at halftime. Only the second time in the competition that would happen. And in the second half, they got a very early goal within the opening 2 minutes. And, you know, when a North African side score first in a game like that, it's always difficult for any team to come back because they always have this defensive organization. And when it became exacerbated for Nigeria by that Iwobi red card, it was almost going to be one of those nights in football.
Fisayo, you've been covering the AFCON tournament in Cameroon since it began. What do you think went wrong with the Super Eagles in the game against the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia?
I will just simply say football happened. Yes, like I mentioned earlier on, the Super Eagles were not particularly as good as they should be in the first half. Yes, partial credit to the Tunisians for the way they organized themselves. But from my watching position inside the stadium, I could see what the Eagles could do better. They didn't move the ball quick enough. The wingers, particularly Chukwueze and Simon, did not do well enough. They did not release the ball for their teammates as early, as much as they should have done. And Kelechi Iheanacho, who should be the link between the midfield and the attack, also faltered in his own disposition. So these are some of the things that happened. But like I said also, there is this element of luck. The red card to Alex Iwobi was one of the things he knew nothing about, trying to control his own ball. These are the kind of things that always happen on a day that is not your day.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Garoua, Cameroon. In more Nations Cup news, Ghana has fired its Serbian coach, Milovan Rajevac, following the team's first-round exit in Cameroon. The four-time African champion Black Stars tallied only 1 point and were eliminated in the group stage for the first time since 2006. Joining us now from Accra, Ghana, is Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori. Sporty greetings, Kwabena.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The decision to sack the Serbian came after a meeting between Ghana's Youth and Sports Ministry and the Ghana Football Association last Saturday on Ghana's poor performance after losing to Comoros and Morocco and drawing with Gabon to pick only a point in their group. Ghanaian football journalist Gary R. Smith.
Compensation-wise, it was agreed by the FA and the sports ministry that Milovan be paid 3 months' salary, you know, in lieu of his sacking and all that. But the coach, we understand, has not agreed. He does not want that. He wants his full severance package, which is 30,000 times the 9 months that are left on his contract. So that is what they are sorting out. Now moving forward into the World Cup qualifier playoff. The state is pushing strongly for a local coach to be put in place. The name of the local coach is not very, very clear, but the state wants a local man in there.
In another development, Ghana will battle Nigeria for FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 slot when the draw was held last Saturday, January 22nd, in Douala, Cameroon. The Black Stars will host the Super Eagles in the first leg at the Cape Coast Stadium before traveling to Nigeria for the second leg. The playoff games of the two countries will be played between 24th and 29th March, and the overall winner qualifies for Qatar 2022 FIFA World Cup. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori reporting.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us once again for a look at the weekend highlights in English Premier League football. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Moroccan winger Hakim Ziyech and Brazilian centre-back Thiago Silva both scored in the second half to help Premier League giants Chelsea secure their first win since Boxing Day by beating Tottenham Hotspur 2-0 at Stamford Bridge. The win marked the third successive time Chelsea have beaten Spurs this month after sending Conte's side packing across both legs of the Carabao Cup. Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel praised his team's outstanding effort.
We were working extremely hard for it, and it was a tough match, but very happy because the effort was outstanding and was a deserved win.
The Blues remain third, 10 points behind leaders Manchester City, were held to a 1-1 draw by Southampton at St. Mary's. The Citizens had won 12 games in a row to open a wide lead over second-place Liverpool, but the fine run came to an end after the Saints held on for a hard-earned draw. Kyle Walker-Peters scored the opener for Southampton, but Aymeric Laporte equalised with 25 minutes remaining. Here's Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola's thoughts on the match.
Outstanding game. We played really well, and unfortunately the first action, we conceded a goal, but we made one of the best performances of the season.
Arsenal played out a goalless draw with Burnley at the Emirates Stadium, blowing off an opportunity to close the gap in the Premier League top four race. Here's Ghana's manager Mikel Arteta's thoughts on the match.
We started a little bit slow. We started to play a little bit better after 20-25 minutes. We started to build the game better, and I think we came out in the second half completely different. We put them under real pressure.
Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince. Now let's go to Melbourne, where Craig Gabriel has an Australian Open Tennis Day 8 update.
There's always something to talk about in tennis, and day 8 of the Australian Open was no exception, and this one was one heck of a feel-good story that left a player and a TV commentator in tears in what was the best on-court post-match interview of the tournament and likely of recent times. The 32-year-old French player Elise Cornet was on court against Simona Halep. The match rocked back and forth a bit. Cornet served at 5-3 in the third and was broken, and then Halep was serving to level the set, and Cornet struck and broke her, and the match was hers. Immediately, her hands were over her face, and she was crying. Her first quarterfinal at the majors, and this was her 63rd major. Yelena Dokic, the ex-player and now TV commentator, did the interview, and Cornet acknowledged how good a player Yelena was and how great she is commentating, which made Yelena cry, and then the two embraced. Elise explained why she did that.
13 years ago, when I had these two match points against Safina and I didn't make it to the quarterfinal, she was expecting me in the quarterfinal, and I was supposed to play against her. And I don't know why, when I won today, I had a thought for her, because this is a match that I could never play, and we never actually played after that. And I was following her, you know, when she published her book, and I was following her story, and now I can see how she's commentating and how she's doing. I think she's great, and I just wanted to share this moment with her because it all made sense at that moment.
The final score in the Cornet match was 6-4, 3-6 and 6-4. Now she'll take on American Danielle Collins, who beat Belgian Elise Mertens 4-6, 6-4, 6-4. That could be a fiery match. And Iga Swiatek was also in tears after she won. It was an emotional day. To the men's, and Daniil Medvedev had a tough ride with American rookie Maxime Cressy, who plays throwback tennis. He plays serve and volley tennis. And Daniil knew he was in a match, but still won 6-2, 7-6, 6-7, 7-5. And he will now take on Felix Auger-Aliassime, who beat Marin Cilic in four sets.
Tough matchup. I mean, we played the last three times. We played the last two times, and this one will be the third time. Last two, I managed to, you know, to have the edge on him, but he's a phenomenal player, so I will need to be at my best to try to win and to bring him hard time.
Then in late finishing matches, Stefanos Tsitsipas got past Taylor Fritz, 4-6, 6-4, 4-6, 6-3, 6-4, and he'll play Jannik Sinner, who beat Alex Dimonor. And Arina Sabalenka, the second seed, was upset by Kaya Kanepi, 5-7, 6-2, 7-6. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Melbourne.
Thanks, Craig. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. That wraps up the January 24th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington.
I get it.
And that's the sunny side of sports.